Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Just got done drinking my protein shake, so I can't talk right. I always go to the gym around this time, about 3 o'clock Eastern, so that's what I'm going to do as soon as I get done with this stream. Like I've said every video today, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you really enjoy the holiday. So earlier, I went over calling out the Bitcoiners, if you will. We discussed that, what I think was appropriate. But I did it in a very respectful, kind way. Most of these guys that are kind of high up in that space, I've got a lot of admiration for. And I would consider them good kind of macro buddies. But I just wanted to say, hey, I think that they should have been maybe talking a little bit more about the downside risks to all these crypto frauds with the price of Bitcoin. But now I want to change the discussion. I want to say, okay, at what point would I start buying Bitcoin? Because whenever I talk about or calling the Bitcoiners out or whenever I make a video like that, you'd be shocked at how many comments I get on YouTube and Twitter calling me, not names or anything, but just basically implying that I hate Bitcoin. Oh, George, why don't you like Bitcoin? You want to end the Fed? Why do you hate Bitcoin so much? No. Listen, let's set the record straight. I like Bitcoin. I think philosophically, it's great. And I think everyone should have some Bitcoin to have purchasing power outside of the banking system. So it's not that I don't like Bitcoin. It's that I don't like hysteria. I like buying things when they're cheap and selling them when they're expensive. I don't like buying them when they're expensive and trying to sell them when they're even more expensive. Or I like Jim Rogers teaches us, I try to buy panic and sell hysteria. I don't want to buy hysteria, hoping that things get more hysterical. So let's kind of look at the other side of the coin here and say, okay, well, George, we get it. A year ago, you saw downside risks, yada, yada, yada. But now, if you do like Bitcoin as an asset, well, what would get you to buy? Okay, let's go over this article from Zero Hedge and really start thinking this through. So the title is Retail Hasn't Sold Bitcoin. And these charts are actually extremely fascinating. Despite crypto crash, Bitcoin hodling hits a record. And I don't know if I go that far, but I see how they're getting this title from some of these charts. The first chart I want to show you, or first couple charts here, is the record proportion of Bitcoin units haven't transacted in 6 months, or a record percentage of total Bitcoin units have not transacted in 6 months. So what percentage is that right now? That's 78%. To give you some context, and what it looks like is when the price gets high, when we see these big spikes, is when you see more transactions or more activity, which would make sense. You know, you see kind of like the volume spike in like a stock, and that would be indicated by this blue line actually going down, because that means fewer people are, or what would that mean? That would mean that there is more transactions as a percentage of the outstanding float within the 6 months, right? Because it would just basically be the inverse, because what this 78, or the higher the number goes, that means the more people are actually hodling, because that's the percentage that has not transacted in the last 6 months. So as that goes down, the transaction amounts in aggregate total increase. So hopefully I explained it well there. And then down the bottom, this gold line is the actual price of Bitcoin. So again, you can see price goes up. This means that the activity goes up, the amount of hodling goes down, represented by how many units have not transacted in 6 months. The wording here is a little weird, but you guys get it. So when I was looking at this with Josh, this 78% number, the first thing that came to my mind is, wow, that would actually make me very, very bullish. Why? The reason you want to buy panic and sell hysteria, or let's focus on buy the panic, is there could still be a vast amount of reasons why you should not buy a stock or a commodity or gold or Bitcoin, but the price won't go any lower. Why? Because of the dynamics involved in the marketplace. You see, at a certain point, everyone who is going to sell sells, and there's simply no more sellers. So when you have that one buyer, it increases the price. Whereas before, just using this very simple example, on the way down, before the price is bottomed, if there is only one buyer, and this represents aggregate demand, but there are two sellers, the price is going to go down. But if there are no sellers and one buyer, price goes up. And this is why you want to wait to a point where you get capitulation. And again, the way I see capitulation in my head, or the way I view it, is you've exhausted all of the people who are going to sell. And even if there still is a great argument for why there's the supply dynamics may get worse, the demand dynamics may get worse, you could have a thousand arguments why the price will go down based on fundamentals, and only one argument, or two or three, a lot less, why they will go up. If the sellers are completely exhausted, then the price, no matter how bearish you want to get on the fundamentals, the price will still go up. At 78%, this tells me, 78% of the people holding Bitcoin right now are hodlers because of the so few transactions in the last 6 months. Well, maybe not 78% would be hodler. Let's see. Let me think about this. A record proportion of Bitcoin units haven't transacted in 6 months. So I guess you could say 78% of the outstanding Bitcoin could, or most likely, would be held by hodlers. And that's a very high number. That's what would make me bullish. What would make me bearish is these hodlers are relatively new. I mean, Bitcoin itself hasn't been around that long. And I would argue probably a lot of these hodlers bought Bitcoin when it was sub 10,000. So they're still making out like bandits. So why would they, what would prompt them to sell? They're still in the, let's just hodl. Who cares about the price? It's volatility. And then you see a lot of people on Twitter say, oh, I don't measure Bitcoin in dollars. I measure it against other Bitcoin. So one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. The problem there is try telling that to your landlord, or try telling that to the grocery store. That's not going to do you much good, my friend. But I think if we go through a sustained bottoming process, which I think is very likely, and I think we could see more downside to the price just because, and Josh brings up a fantastic point. We talk about people having to, in the next recession that we most likely will see in 2023, having to sell their home because the negative wage growth has been so extreme that the only way that they can afford to make ends meet when they completely exhaust their savings or max out their credit card is going to be to sell their home to extract that home equity, or what little home equity they have left, to make sure they can put food on the table. And I don't think the Bitcoin hodlers will be exempt from this. Now, maybe a lot of them will, but a lot of them won't. So let's just say they don't have any home equity because they've put everything into Bitcoin. Okay, well, that's great when you're employed, but when you're unemployed and the cost of living is increasing by 10% per year, at some point you've got to make a decision. Either you continue to hodl or you sell because you've got to feed your children. And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying this is everybody, but I'm saying this, we could see this for a significant percentage. Excuse me. So I don't know. I'm trying to give you some conclusions here or some takeaways. But on the other hand, I don't want to just say something to say something. I guess for me personally, what I would like to see, well, I'd love to see this number go up, but I would also like to see how this plays out if the price not only continues to go down, but if it just stays flat. Because I also think a lot of the Bitcoiners, especially if they bought sub 10,000, they're so accustomed to making these huge gains, even if there's this massive volatility. And also they think that, you know, these cycles just are a given. If the price stays flat for the next year or the next 2 years, I think not only a lot of them will be forced to sell because of a recession, but I think a lot of them will get bored and they just don't have that adrenaline rush of the volatility. And so they want to move on to something else. And that's when you could see this notch down. I guess what I might look for, just thinking out loud, is to see the price stay the same or go down while this 78 goes down to, let's say, 62 or something, 65. That would probably make me really excited, because if you see this number go down, while it meaning that there's more transactions as a percentage of the outstanding float over the last 6 months, and you don't see a corresponding price increase, but you even see a corresponding price decrease, that would tell me we're getting very close to capitulation, because not only are the only people left the hodlers, but then the only people left would be the absolute, 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 like Max Kaiser types. And not only that, but they would be the hodlers that aren't in a position where they need to sell. And that's the Jim Rogers opportunity I think I would look for. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with Macro Economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Now, moving on to this next chart, Bitcoin estimated break-even price for short-term holders based on how long Bitcoin has been held for. Okay, so we've got this dark blue line is 1 to 3 months. So if someone has owned, I guess what this is saying is if someone has owned Bitcoin 1 to 3 months, their break-even, their average break-even probably, would be about 20 grand. 1 week to 1 month, about 19.8. 6 months, 3 months to 6 months would be 23. Right. So my first thought here would be the majority of the people that have bought Bitcoin over the last 6 months haven't lost that much. So even if they're not a hodler, they're probably just trying to wait it out. But if it gets down too far, I think they're going to have to wave the white flag. You know, it's just like buying a stock and having a stop loss. Let's say the stock price is 100 when you buy, and you've got a stop loss at 90. You guys know how it works, right? The price goes sub 90. And when it was supposed to be like a 2 week trade, now all of a sudden you say, well, you rationalize and you say, okay, well, I'm not going to hold it for 2 weeks. I'm going to go ahead and make it just put it in the long term portion of my portfolio. So instead of playing by your own rules, you're rationalizing as to why you should keep it. So I think a lot of these people are maybe traders. And if it goes beneath a certain price, well, then they'll go ahead and rationalize keeping it by saying, well, now I'm just going to hodl. So I don't know if that really impacts the price, but I think a significant percentage of these people, if it got down low enough, would go ahead and sell, because you know, if you've got 100% of the buyers over the last 6 months, obviously 100% of them aren't going to be hodlers. So then they go through some other charts where they talk about kind of the hot money coming into the market, which would be institutional. And I think the argument that institutional is getting really excited about the crypto space or about Bitcoin or, you know, the second layer or any, I think that's all nonsense. Quite frankly, in my experience, all the hedge fund guys and gals and the big pools of money, they care about one thing: return. They don't care if it's in Bitcoin. They don't care if it's in gold. They don't care if it's in real estate. They could care less. It's ROI, baby. And they're going to take any trade. That they would trade tulips. They would trade North Korean stamps. They'd trade seashells. It doesn't matter. They're just in it for a return. They're not married, or they're not ideological. That's for sure. So my point is, I don't really see big institutional money coming back into the Bitcoin space unless we had another big price move up. And or you had some players come in that would allow them some sort of arbitrage opportunity, like we saw with Grayscale. And if you guys don't know what I'm saying there, Grayscale was issuing shares directly to these big hedge funds, and all these hedge funds at a discounted price. And all these hedge funds would just hold them for 6 months, which is the holding period. And then they just flip them to retail, and they'd pocket basically a risk-free profit, and they'd pocket the spread between what they paid and the price or Bitcoin of Bitcoin when they bought the shares. That would be the one way they'd win on the trade. Another way would be they'd get that delta, but then they'd also get the delta between where Bitcoin traded when they purchased and then where Bitcoin traded when they sold. So on the way up, you know, they're buying it, let's say a 20% discount, but then Bitcoin would increase in price. It'd go from 30 to 40 grand, and they'd get that pop as well. And this is why I think a lot of, you know, it's one thing that really drove the price up was all this hot money coming in. And again, this hot, the guys that I talked to that were doing this, they didn't care about Bitcoin. They didn't care at all. They weren't libertarian. They weren't hard money people. They were just trying to work the system and just trying to find an opportunity to arbitrage just risk-free return or almost risk-free return. And so when that started to go the other way, you know, then it worked all in reverse. And I think that's one of the reasons why you saw the price go down so fast. And I think that's why the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust went from the price exceeding NAV to the price being under NAV so quickly. NAV, net asset value. And here's what a lot of Bitcoiners will point to. They'll say every single time people say Bitcoin's dead, then that's what, the next rally. Yeah, okay. I mean, I get it, but I don't know that that's, you know what? This is almost like looking at a blackjack chart or the past history of blackjack and seeing black come up, or I'm sorry, roulette. I meant to say roulette. And seeing black come up like 20 times in a row and then thinking the next spin, the odds are somehow higher that it's going to turn up red. And that's not the way it works, because each spin is excluding the green, you know, is 50-50. And so the past doesn't really impact the current spin. And I would argue it's probably the same thing here with this chart. And then who's, you know, it's kind of arbitrary at what price Bitcoin is quote unquote dead. I don't think that based on what I see on Twitter, I don't think that we're anywhere near capitulation. That would be my thoughts on this chart. So I would strongly suggest going through the rest of this article. Definitely good stuff and food for thought. I think to answer the question, going back to the title of the video, when will I start buying Bitcoin? It's when I have a sense that we have reached full capitulation. And I think I'll probably use some of those metrics. My favorite chart there was the one that shows the percentage of coins that have not transacted over the last 6 months. That's definitely my favorite chart. That's really cool. So I'll definitely combine that with what I see on Twitter and some of the other kind of anecdotal things that I've discussed in the past, such as what Michael Saylor is doing, because he's kind of the poster child for the Bitcoin hysteria. So you know that if he sells, that's a great time to buy. And then I'll also combine that with other things I've talked about, like trying to track the amount of attendees at the Bitcoin conference. And when that goes down to an extreme low, that'll be my signal to get a lot more interested. But right now, I do like some things that are happening. I like the fact that every single time you have a crypto blow up, Bitcoin still doesn't go down that much. And I definitely like the fact that based on that one chart, we've got 78% of the Bitcoins have not been sold over the last 6 months. Those are all definitely, in my opinion, bullish signals, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm buying yet, because especially when you look at the yield curve, I'm not convinced that we have hit capitulation. All right, guys, Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.